Prakritir guna sambhuta. Sajjante guna karmasu. Dana Krishna vido vandan. Krishna vinna vichalaye. Prakritir guna sambhuta. Sajjante guna karmasu. Dana Krishna vido vandan. Krishna vinna vichalaye. Prakriti of material nature, guna by the modes, samhuta befooled by material identification, sajjante they become engaged, guna karmasu in material activities, tan goes, akritsna vidvamo. Krishna Vidaha, persons with a poor fund of knowledge. Mandam, lazy to understand self-realization. Krishna Vit, one who is in factual knowledge. Nam, not. Vichalayet, should try to agitate. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. Purport. Persons who are unknowledgeable falsely identify with gross material consciousness and are full of material designations. This body is a gift of the material nature, thank you very much, and one who is too much attached to the bodily consciousness is called munda, or a lazy person without understanding of spirit soul. Ignorant men think of the body as the self. They accept bodily connections with others as kinsmanship. The land in which the body is obtained is their object of worship. And they consider the formalities of religious rituals to be ends in themselves. Social work, nationalism, and altruism are some of the activities for such materially designated persons. Under the spell of such designations, they are always busy in the material field. For them, spiritual realization is a myth, and so they are not interested. Those who are enlightened in spiritual life, however, should not try to agitate such materially engrossed persons. Better to prosecute one's own spiritual activities silently. Such bewildered persons may be engaged in such primary moral principles of life as nonviolence and similar materially benevolent work. Men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord, because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men who try to engage them in the activities of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human beings. Prakritir guna sammutha sajjante guna karmasu. Tana Krishna Vido Vandana Krishna Vin Na Vichalaye. In the previous verse, Krishna has said that a person who is in knowledge doesn't get entangled with the business of sense gratification. Tattvavittu mahabhaho guna karma vipadhi. He knows the difference between material activities and spiritual activities, so he stays out of the material world. But here are the other people. They're described very succinctly. Prakritir guna sammuta. Sammuta means completely bewildered, befooled. Muta, we're familiar with that word, Navamuskritana muta. And now we come to sammuta. Sam means samya, completely. Completely muta. Yeah, complete donkey. Complete ass. Some would be thoroughly bewildered. How bewildered? Prakritir, by the qualities of material nature. Especially by the lower qualities, the qualities of passion and ignorance. Bewildered. Prakritir guna sammuta. Guna karma sajjante. They engage themselves, guna karma su, in work which is material. Activities that are material. Sajjante guna karma su. Tana kritsna vidova mandan. A kritsna vidan is a gentler term. It means they're not in full knowledge. It's a gentler way of saying that they're bewildered. Dana Krishna Vido Mandan. We're familiar with this word, Manda Sumanda Mateo, Manda Bhagya. Manda means slow. In Ayurveda, Mandagni, slow fire of digestion means can't breathe, can't digest. Manda means slow. Specifically lazy. Lazy, why lazy? Because of the mode of ignorance. When we read about the three modes of material nature, this laziness is specifically a feature of the mode of ignorance. In passion, there's not laziness. There's lots of activity. Foolish activity. Activity for sense gratification. And mode of goodness, there's peacefulness. So, Krishna Vido Mandan, they may be very active because of the mode of passion, like the monkeys. The monkeys are typical representatives of passionate activity. Very instructive, Vrindavan is. The monkeys are all over the place. And their business is to create some mischief, to tear something apart. You never see a monkey constructing anything. But they're very expert at making chaos out of whatever there is. Give them anything and they'll destroy it. So now we have our defense departments, our scientists, very expert in creating destruction on a wide scale. These are all manifestations of the mode of passion. And this laziness concerning self-realization is symptomatic of ignorance. Prabhupada mentioned that for them spiritual life is like, what are you talking about? It's something high in the sky or something. What are people wasting their time here? They'll sit behind their television set and drink their beer and not even think about spiritual realization. This is among the low, slow elements. A Krishnavido Mandan, but Krishnavin Navichalin. Krishna says those who are Krishnavid, those who are in full knowledge, Navichalaya shouldn't agitate them, shouldn't disturb them. And it's interesting to see that Srila Prabhupada gives two different perspectives on this direction by Lord Krishna. First thing he says is, just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Don't waste your time. Don't agitate them. Better that they carry on in their materially designated work. Materially designated means in terms of material designations. Anyavilasita purna. Think in terms of I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm Russian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm this, I'm that. These are all material designations. But thinking in terms of these material designations, the best they'll do is some mundane philanthropy, social work, nationalism, altruism. These are some of the activities, Prabhupada said, probably materialistic then. So the direction here is, all right, at least they're doing something. At least they're giving money to the Red Cross, or they're volunteering to work in a hospital, or they're doing something of a philanthropic or altruistic or nationalistic nature. All right, something is better than nothing. Why try to disturb them? Let them go on. That's one side of it. Better, let's go on with our own Krishna consciousness and not waste time with these people because they're really stuck. If we try to instruct them in spiritual life, they'll just get agitated, but they won't take to it. So better just to leave them alone. That's the first paragraph. And the second paragraph, Prabhupada takes essentially the opposite view and says that the devotees are more liberal, what's the word he uses? More generous? More kind than the Lord, because they know the purpose of the Lord. So they even try to do something good for these homeless cases. They undertake all sorts of risks, all sorts of difficulties, that just to try to uplift these people. Especially in the Kali Yuga, because this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Purnavatirna Prabhu. He appears in the Kali Yuga to give mercy to the fallen souls. Dina Hina Yatuchido, Haridani Yatuchido. To uplift the most fallen souls. Padita Pavana Hetu Prabhu. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's business. And the devotees are coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they think, let's try. Just like Nityananda Prabhu, he was passing on the road with Haridas Thakur. And they saw some crowd of people. What's this crowd? What's going on? Ah, there are two Gundas. They're creating some disturbance, so naturally the crowd is gathered. So Nityananda Prabhu thought, well, let's preach to them. Let's preach to them. Because if these gundas become Krishna conscious, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be glorified. They're missionaries from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so they're thinking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If these brothers become Krishna conscious, then people will glorify us, Lord Chaitanya. Well, let's try for it. So this is Nityananda Prabhu's mood, preaching Krishna consciousness in spite of the Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Pagya. This is Kali Yuga. Everyone is slow. Everyone is agitated. Everyone is unfortunate. But the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being more kind than Krishna, although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, he's more kind than Krishna. Krishna Krishna's advance, surrender. And then Ahamkam Sarvabhakti, and then I'll see. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes no conditions, just chant Hare Krishna. He's more magnanimous. He's more Mahabhanajana. So here Srila Prabhupada expresses both views. And another thing that can be said is that the devotees don't try to stop the materialists from activity. That also will be discussed in Bhagavad-gita. That trying to stop people from working is impractical, hopeless, and potentially dangerous also. A person is at least engaged, he's doing something. Now if you pull him out and say, take sannyas, renounce all these material activities, give up everything, he'll perhaps make a show of giving up everything, but it won't stick. In the dress of a sannyasi, he'll want to do all the things that he did in the dress of a carny. So better than trying to pull them out of all activity, engage them in some practical service. That's tactically possible. If we say to a person, now, your all activities are all rot. Give up all these nonsense activities. And you may say, well, yeah, but what am I supposed to do? Nahi kashchit chanamapi jatakistachukra. No one can stop acting even for a moment. We have to do something, always. So we're told, now sit in the corner. That's like torture. That I remember from my grade school days, that was one of the punishments for a student. That you have to stand in one place. Either sit on a bench or stand against the wall and do nothing. Punishment. Because everyone wants to do something. So if we try to tell people, now stop all of your nonsense activities, all their activities are nonsense, then what am I supposed to do? Therefore the Krishna consciousness movement doesn't say stop all your activities. But connect your activities with Krishna. You're dancing like monkeys, so now dance for Krishna. Instead of dancing all your nonsense, dance for Krishna. You're eating all rubbish, eat prasad. You like to sing all Bollywood songs or this or that, chant Hare Krishna. You're doing some work, do that work for Krishna. It's mentioned, we know from the history that our godbrother Jayananda Prabhu would engage any kind of person. He was building the rat cart for Lord Jagannath in San Francisco, and he would pull any strange person, any low person. Come on, we need some help. Put a wrench in his hand, put a hammer in his hand, put something in his hand. Could you help us? And then the person is engaged in practical service. The person is engaged in practical service. Rather than bang on the person and say, you low, wretched person, you're just engaged in fruitive activities for the sake of maintaining this body which is meant to become stool or ashes or earth. Come out of this nescience. Person will say, hey, what's got into you? Where are you coming from? You okay? They won't understand it. And if you try and make them understand it, they'll get angry. But practically we can say to them, please engage in, please help us. We need some help. We need help in any field, any department. whether it's building something or doing something, fixing something, collecting something, distributing something. We need help. Could you help us out? Right? After all, people are, their highest idea is altruism, do something for others. I need help. Okay, what do you need? Could you just do this for me? Could you just do that for me? Yeah, sure. What's it for me? Why not? Help you out. Then instead of becoming agitated, the person thinks, yes, I helped this guy out. Maybe he doesn't even know what it was. He just needed some practical help and he helped you. But we know this is devotional service. This is the beginning. Agata Sukriti. He doesn't even know what he's doing. But we know. He's in some way now helping the Krishna consciousness movement. The credit is there. This is the business of a devotee, because one can't get devotional service by any means. Not by pious activities, not by intellectual speculation, but only by the grace of a devotee can one actually get devotional service. One gets the opportunity to be engaged in devotional service only if he's already engaged in some devotional service. So how's he going to get started? He gets started by the grace of a devotee. Could you help me out? Could you give a donation? Could you, somehow or other, the devotees are thinking, how to get this person engaged? Not to stop them, but positively to engage them in Krishna service. Any questions? Comments? Maharaj.
Jayananda is a perfect example when you engage people according to propensity. And then just you work side by side with them. Then you should start talking about life. My old granddaddy used to say, he would talk about it, see the practical word, and start talking about it. And then after it was all done, he gave him, but he gave him a big container of prasada.
For those who couldn't hear, saying that Jayananda Prabhu, as we were mentioning, used to engage people in some practical work. And then while they were working side by side, because he wouldn't just say, hey, could you do this, but he would be doing it also. Then he'd start talking to the person about something about life. You know, my grandfather used to say, meaning Prabhupada, you know, my grandfather used to say, and start talking to him about life. So the person is hearing something, some transcendental instruction. And then the man's not going to get paid anything, but he'd give him a big love pack, big package of prasad. So the person would benefit so nicely. We heard that there was some lady in San Francisco who was in charge of permissions for the she was some government city official, and after Jayananda had left, the successor devotee came to ask permission, and she was saying, where is such and such, where is Jay? And the devotee said, oh, he died. And the woman just began crying. She just, you know, broke into tears.
Such a nice
person he was. So this is a Vaishnava, that even an ordinary person who comes in touch with the devotee will experience something. How the influence of Krishna's energy is there. How the Lord who will be such a nice person. And they get benefit. She's proven, yes, this is a good festival. So she's serving where Jagannath. I remember also, we had, when we were printing that marathon, 17 books in 2 months, it was quite a, apart from the work we did for the printing companies, it was quite a big job. It was the largest print order, single print order ever placed on the west coast of America until that time. And it was quite a, 17 books, 5,000 or 10,000 or whatever, 20,000 a piece. That's quite a substantial amount of printing. And as we were all busy meeting deadlines, the printing companies were also going all out to meet the deadlines. And it involved shipping the pictures from this printer to the other printer and binding and putting all the pieces together. Anyway, they did it. It was a cooperative effort from the suppliers and the customers. And I remember sometime later, maybe it was a year later or more, we were taking breakfast, some devotees, and a letter came from our rep, the person in charge of our account at one of these printing companies. And it started out, it was a letter to Prabhupada. And it started out like any business correspondence. Through divine grace, we feel very honored to be able to render some service to your organization. Kind of thing that you say to a customer. But as the letter went on, it was such an amazing letter. If this letter is ever found, reward for anyone who could ever find this letter. He just began going on in that vein that we feel such that these are not ordinary books, these are great works for the upliftment of humanity. And Saraswati was inspiring him. So in the guise of an ordinary employee at the printing company, he was engaged in glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita and glorifying the qualities of Krishna's pure devotee. So these are the sort of things that can occur in the lives of even ordinary people when they come in touch with Krishna's devotees. Some other point? Some other question?
What are the most attractive ways of
What is that? You have to speak very loud.
What are the most attractive ways to get away from material things and to reach transcendental platforms?
What are the most effective ways to get away from material things and to reach the transcendental platform? Devotional service. Getting away from material things is very difficult because the material things follow us around. Wherever we go, material things will be there. And our desires for material things will be there. And simply giving up those desires will be very difficult. Or isolating ourselves from material things or material activities will be very difficult. But if we engage ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord, then the material activities are automatically put aside because we have a better activity. Or the ordinary activity becomes transformed into a transcendental activity. And because the activity is now transformed, or because we're now engaged in devotional activities, the heart becomes purified also. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that one shouldn't simply renounce sannyasas tu mahabhaho dukkamato niyogana. For a person who is not engaged in devotional service, simply renouncing will be another way of being miserable. he'll give something up, but he'll be lamenting all the time. Why am I giving this up? What's wrong with me? He'll just find his torture. Prabhupada gave the example of C.R. Das, a big barrister in Calcutta during Gandhi's time, who out of sympathy for Gandhi's movement, for the nationalistic freedom movement, gave up his all opulence and was living, simple life, or even went to jail, all of this. But in his heart, he was attached to all of it. He was a big man. And it was too much for him. I think he died. He just couldn't live like that.
He
was a judge. He couldn't live like that. Why am I suffering so much? But a devotee doesn't feel like he's suffering. A devotee is getting the superior taste of devotional service. He doesn't care for the material things. If they've left me, good riddance. Krishna has relieved me of some burden. He's happy. The Goswamis, they gave up their aristocratic associates and their whole big position, as if it was nothing, as if it were useless. And they were living like beggars. Sanatana Goswami, when he reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was just dressed like a beggar except for one nice chatter that some relative had given him along the way. And then when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say anything, but Sanatana Goswami could see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, looking at him like, what is this Vairagi doing with this nice opulent chatter? So then Sanatana Goswami went to the bathing ghat and said to some ordinary person, can I give you my chatter for yours? And the guy thought that Sanatana Goswami was joking with him, teasing him. Nobody does that. No, I'm serious, please, you take this, let me take yours. And then he came back, and Jaitanya Mahaprabhu saw, and now he's completely by right. And Sanatana Goswami was feeling happy. He didn't feel that I only had one thing left, I've given everything away but this one nice chatter, now I've had to give this away too. He was feeling, I was holding on to one thing, now it's gone. Same thing happened when he was traveling on the road, he was keeping a few gold coins. Servant was keeping a few, Ishan was keeping a few gold coins. And the innkeeper understood this sannyasi and his servant, they're keeping some gold. So they were plotting something. But then the gold was given, yes, taken. And they felt that Sanatana Goswami felt. Rupa Goswami? Sanatana, he had the gold. He felt that now I'm really free. He told the servant also, okay, there's one piece of gold left, you take it, you can go home, take the gold to your family. And Sanatana Goswami felt, now no servant, no gold, no problems. The same thing that the materialist is, dying for, how to get a little gold. Sanatana Goswami felt relieved to be rid of. So this is the effect of Krishna consciousness. Janayati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chaiva. The effect of Krishna consciousness is that automatically detachment comes. One doesn't separately have to become detached. One doesn't separately have to become kind. One doesn't separately have to become learned. One simply has to be fully engaged in Krishna's service. Learning will come, knowledge will come, detachment will come, kindness will come. All the good qualities of the living house will come. Something else? triple left. Services that could be performed by a devotee in adverse circumstances, with bad health, a restless mind, these things, huh? The main one is chanting Hare Krishna. I was just visiting Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. Some of our devotees know Vibhu Chaitanya, who served for many, many years as the cook for Krishna Maharaj, and then after that was giving charanamrita to all the devotees. Now he's a little indisposed, he's staying in ground floor in the guest house building. And I went to see him. And although his body is giving difficulties, he's chanting Hare Krishna. And you can see how he's feeling transcendental ecstasy by chanting the holy name of the Lord. He's all bent over and the back is giving him pain. Can't move, and so many physical difficulties are there. Can't do, you know, practical service that he was doing before. But he's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. And hearing, and Prabhupada's face are there. He's fully engaged in very difficult service, and fully engaged. So this chanting of Hare Krishna is so nice. There are no hard and fast rules, and there's no practically impediment. We can always chant Hare Krishna. And even if we can't chant Hare Krishna, we can hear it. And we can remember Krishna. Yena kena prakarena, somehow or other, by remembering Krishna, by chanting, by seeing the deity, by doing some practical service to a devotee, somehow we should be engaged. That desire should be there. Somehow I have to do something for Krishna. I shouldn't be captured by Maya. I should do something. I should chant, or I should hear, or I should do something practical. Then Krishna will help us. And another thing, practical preaching. Because sitting around, you know, looking at one another and not really being engaged is a way for inviting Maya. Please come. I have no engagement. I'm lonely. I'm bored. Could you make me an offer? But when we get out and preach, then we forget. We forget about our difficulties. We forget about our mega problems. We forget about which devotee we're having a disagreement with. We forget about so many petty problems and politics and this and that, which are fully capable of occupying the mind, agitating the mind, disturbing the mind. But when we get out and actually engage in distributing books or preaching to people or chanting in public places or telling people about Krishna's message, we get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We practically become engaged and forget. I remember back in the early 1970s, we used to go out every day on Fifth Avenue in New York City and chant for many hours. Maybe we'd get out by 7 o'clock or so and chant till 5 or 6, stop for lunch along the way someplace, up and down Fifth Avenue. And before we'd get out, you know, this and that, and I'm not feeling very well, and I don't know if I want to go out today. And then once you get out, And you're chanting and you're chanting, you forget. You just forget all the things that were maya. Maya goes away. When we chant Hare Krishna, when we preach, when we're engaged in sankirtan, in one form or another form, maya goes away. What is that? Kali Kalmasha Nasha. This sankirtan just drives away the effect of Kali. Even in ordinary affairs, we're advised, you know, a person who's preoccupied with his own problems, if you give him some engagement helping somebody else, he forgets about his own problems because he starts thinking about the other person's problems. Right? So, of course, that's in the material field, again, altruism, philanthropy. But on the transcendental platform, we have knowledge of what people's real problems are. And actually, they're the same problems that we have. So when we preach to people about their problems, we're simultaneously enlightening ourselves about our own problems. So preaching is a wonderful engagement, somehow or other. Just trying to reach people with the message of Krishna will be very effective. Something else? Somebody in the middle is going to have to relay, so listen carefully. Somebody feels inspired to write something about Krishna consciousness, but they see that other devotees, senior devotees or predecessors have already written about it. So what's the etiquette? Write it again. This is our business. I was just reading by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu's comment that the materialistic philosophers, their idea is always to come up with a new angle, a new way of saying things, a new point of view, whereas in the Vedic culture, that's not what's valued. What's valued is the ability to repeat the message that we've heard from our seniors, from the authorities. Even Jiva Goswami, in his commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, or in his writings, sometimes he just reproduces Sridhar Swami. Huh? So the acharyas, they just reproduce. Sridhar Swami says, da 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 da. And that's their commentary at the verse. Or they say, Sridhar Swami says, da 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 da, and then they add a few more things, usually in the form of just repeating the same thing in different words. It's not that we have to invent something new, but if we say the same thing that we've already heard, it will have value. Even if only because another person is saying it. You know, one person says it, another person says it, pretty soon 10 million people are saying it, the next person thinks, well, it must be something to it. You know, even rumors, somebody says it, then the next person says it, the next person, pretty soon, it must be true. So even if we don't do anything, don't contribute anything new, if we just repeat it, it will have value. But then again, the acharyas, they sometimes just say the same thing in a different language, you know, in a different phraseology, a different, you know, every generation has its own language, or every subculture has its own language, or every group of people has their own concerns, their own language, their own way of looking. So again, if we just say the thing in our own words, that has value. Prabhupada explained that this is realization. Realization means to not only to hear, but to assimilate it in such a way that you can say the same thing yourself. If you listen to a lecture, and somebody says, well, what's the lecture about? You say, well, you don't really know what to say. Now, if you get a good memory, you can memorize it, and then after repeating what was said, if you're asked what it meant, you say, well, I don't really know what it kind of means, so then you repeat it again. But realization means that you've understood it so clearly that in your own words you can say it. So that has value, and Prabhupada encouraged us to do that. We know it's already been said. There's no new topic, it's the same thing. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all His servants. The same thing, we're not ready to say. But we say it again and again and again and again, and we feel purified. And what are we chanting? Every day, you know, every round, it's the same old mantra. We just keep chanting it again and again. And it just keeps getting better and better and better. And the more we chant it, the more we want to chant it, the more other people chant it. We don't have to invent a new mantra or come up with some variations to make it more cool. We just have to repeat it. So write in your own words. That's one of, Prabhupada said, that's one of the qualifications of a devotee. The devotee is poetic. Poetic doesn't mean like Shakespeare or Robert Burns, but it means that to write something, to glorify Krishna. Prabhupada very much encouraged us to do that. He said, what is this path to Godhead for? And write to the back to Godhead. We have our internet site, krishna.com, where there's people writing live, preaching to people online. And there's so many other opportunities for writing and expressing something glorifying Krishna. So that's a very valuable engagement.
We have the good fortune to come in contact with a professor of ancient history at Calcutta University. It would be so nice if he was engaged and most concerned. But he has a question. If Srimad Bhagavatam was composed 5,000 years ago, as we say, then why is it that the oldest known commentary is only of Sridhara Swami and the Kosta?
If Srimad Bhagavatam is 5,000 years old, as we say, why is the oldest known commentary that of Sridhara Swami, which is only 12th century? I don't know. Invaders and so on. I just read that a big library in Manipur was destroyed by fire. Yeah. This, in the last month or so, there was some big fire in the library in Manipur, and so many books were destroyed. And Manipur is such a Vaishnava place, so many of the books must have been irreplaceable Vaishnava writings. So these things, they have been to get that explanation to be involved. Awesome. We are out of time, but go ahead. Yes. You have to be double loud about it. Next, I'm sure. RT, okay.